Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's OMF on EEI.
Ernie, just want to thank you as your final draft and the final round as we go to the final pick. It's yours.
Okay.
It's yours. And thank you for your contributions, not only here, but to the game and to the process of scouting.
You want to call him, Tim?
Yeah.
Okay. Trey Nixon, wide receiver, Central Florida.
Awesome.
There you go. Finally get themselves a slot receiver in the seventh round. So, Ernie Adams is done, at least with the draft. I'm sure he's going to do something within the organization. I think this all started a couple nights ago when Phil Perry was asking a question to detail how you rate the players. And Bill was kind of dismissive and did not want to engage in any of it. Then the next night, volunteered it by basically saying, is Phil Perry here? And he started to explain it all. Because I think he wanted to explain how intricate this system is, and it was all established by one Ernie Adams. So Adams has been extremely beneficial to this organization. I don't know how you can rate it, but I think it's significant what he has meant over the years.
Well, he's won them Super Bowls.
Yep.
I mean, I can point to two, right? David Givens, which I didn't know, and Bill revealed this in the video, that Givens was Ernie's pick, and Givens was a seldom used running back receiver from Notre Dame, and we were like, who the hell is this guy? And Givens, at one point, we were wondering, he could have been a Super Bowl MVP. And then the Malcolm Butler play, which they threw down our throat in one of the DVDs. Malcolm Butler made the interception. Ernie called this. Ernie ran it in practice.
I thought Patricia did.
Patricia took credit for it.
Didn't he claim to have the best defensive call in the history of Super Bowls?
This is where they're messed. Ernie had scouted Seattle, and that's what they were going to do. So maybe Patricia made the right call, but Ernie did the research. I think it is a huge loss for the team.
I do too, because I think it's you can laugh about the guy, whatever, but I mean, you need to make calls right away. In games, not just before, during the week, and the conversations you might have with Bill, but he relies on him in game. Right? And I think when you lose that kind of resource, I don't think it's a good thing. Now, it seems like, correct me if I'm wrong, that Matt Patricia is kind of that guy
so.
Now.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, he's and a rocket scientist.
It might be the perfect role for him.
You think?
Lou. Yeah, because he doesn't deal well, as we saw in Detroit, out front with the media. He did not do a particularly good job as head coach there, but we keep on hearing from people internally that he's brilliant. He's rocket scientist, as Gary just said.
I know it's brilliant, but I'm talking about quick decision-making skills. We have no idea.
Yeah, and here's another thing. Look, I think Patricia's probably the best guy for the job, but I think Ernie's pretty close to being irreplaceable, and it's because of the history he had with Bill. Bill talked about how he's been involved in the NFL since 76, but from what I understand, these two guys went to school together at Phillips Andover, and for fun, these two wild and crazy guys would go to a BU game and sit there and break down plays and scout the team as opposed to going out drinking and chasing girls. And it all started when they were in college. And here's another thing that people do not – the majority of coaches are phys ed majors. Let's face it. They're jocks. These dudes could have been economics gurus. I'm totally stereotyping. But let's face it. I mean, Ernie Adams and Bill Belichick are probably two of the smartest people ever in the NFL. They were economics guys. They went to private schools. They went to Division III schools. We have to be really smart to get in.
Yeah, but I think you'd be surprised. There are a lot more of those guys around the
league. Well, maybe now. Yeah, I mean, certainly now. I agree with you all.
You're basically giving us Dan Campbell. That's what you're doing, you know?
But I mean, these guys are really smart, and they've been doing it together for over 30 years.
I just think the in-game stuff.
That too, Lou. I don't think a lot comes from Ernie. And I don't think you can replace him. And here's the other thing. Look, when it came to cheating, Ernie was right in the middle of it. With all the camera. We heard how he took a camera guy from the Patriots.
I forget, too, because there was one of these documentaries.
Yeah.
And maybe it might have been the one that they lost the third round pick to. I don't even know. Where they actually, Ernie was talking about like a play that was 3 or 4 years ago.
Right.
And like goal line defense, I think it was.
Right.
And they were saying, why can't we run it here at like the 40? And it was like it changed the entire game.
Right.
But it was Ernie in game.
Right.
Recalling a play 5 years ago and saying, do that now.
Right. And Patricia can't do that.
So I don't know. Maybe he can. I have no idea. Maybe he can. I just know when that guy's gone, you lost a lot.
I thought the video was really interesting and, certainly paying tribute to Ernie Adams. But I thought it was fascinating that some Patriot fans were honing in on Bill's left hand. And on the ring finger, he was not wearing one of those 8 different championship rings he has. Instead, it was a band that kind of resembled a wedding band. And so it started going around and people were even talking about it on the air that, is it possible that we missed something? Nah, you didn't miss anything. I hate to tell you. My understanding is it's an aura ring. Do you guys know what an aura ring is?
No,
I didn't either. O-U-R-A. So apparently it has sensor technology in it. And what it does is it attaches to your phone, your iPhone, and it gives you constant health update. So during the daytime, it tells you what your heart rate is, your activity levels, steps, stuff like that. And then at night, it patterns everything you're doing while you're sleeping. So
Do you have to wear it on that hand?
That's a good question. I don't know enough about this, Lou, but I can tell you he's wearing an aura ring, and apparently Bill did not secretly get married.
Okay. The aura ring is what the NBA players were wearing in the bubble last year.
Ooh.
They were the same thing for health reasons. It would help tell you you're developing signs of COVID.
So if he's like within 6 feet, does it go buzz off or something?
Ooh, maybe.
So you find out how many calories you burn during sex?
I don't know if it's sex or treadmill. I'm not sure. It might be both.
At this stage of the game, what's the difference, Lou?
Whatever.
So there you go. It's an aura ring. He's not getting married. What didn't he do this weekend, guys? I mentioned wide receiver Trey Nixon, 7th-round draft. I don't know. Maybe they feel comfortable with a slot guy at the 7th round. They've had some success there in the past.
That's a surprise.
But there were a lot of wide receivers, and I thought they would get one much earlier than that.
We thought, a lot of people talking like the Waddle, Devontae Smith in the 1st round, right? And it's like, okay, but it's so deep. You know, a guy like Waddle, well, it's deep in slot receivers. And that 2nd, 3rd, 4th round is where it seemed like the sweet spot. And it was like a wide receiver draft like the last couple of years has been. And even the year N'Keal Harry went, the last 3 drafts have been wide receivers everywhere. They got the wrong guy in N'Keal Harry in a loaded draft. And this year they didn't even take one until the 7th round. I don't know. Maybe the kid turns into Edelman. Who the hell knows? I'm just surprised they didn't dive into like that 3rd round, 4th round, maybe trade back in. Find it one of these wide receivers that everybody seemed to love.
Well, Ernie picked Givens, so hopefully that'll continue with this kid. This kid dropped, again, another Belichick or Ernie pick because he dropped, so you do have value. I don't think they need a receiver right now. I really don't. I understand they have 3. I get it. I'm not putting Gunnar Olszewski in there. I'm not putting N'Keal Harry in there. Okay, they have a guy already on the roster, and they have a couple of free agents. You've got 2 tight ends. You've got James White. So those are 5. Those are 6 weapons right there. And I think that you have to include the tight ends and the running backs in this. It's not like you're just going to go with 5 wide with receivers. They have a lot of guys that have talent. They have a lot of skill players. It didn't bother me.
Yeah,
plus,
but you know,
Bill's not good
Gary,
at it.
But
Bill's not good at picking receivers.
But to me, it's not like this draft, and everybody would go crazy, and of course they had the greatest draft of any team. I get it. I'll read the locals. I understand what they're saying.
They got an A. Got an A. A+.
Like last year, the talent was so bad that a lot of these guys played. But they usually don't. So when you draft like a first, or you draft a running back, wide receiver rather, in that 2nd, 3rd, 4th round, it's not about this year. It's about next year. You know what I mean? It's about getting him in here for a year, maybe working with Mac, you know, whatever, as rookies. And then next year is when he sort of slots in. Now, we know a lot of, you know, wide receivers slot in right away in this league lately. There's no question about it. So it wasn't really a need this year. It was more of like a need moving forward. Like, just give me somebody young, because N'Keal Harry didn't work.
Yeah. I also think they've had done so well with the slot receiver. And you say that they don't, Bill doesn't do well with receivers. He does great with slot receivers. Between, you know, you can go to between Troy who? Brown, you can go to Welker, you can go to Edelman. He's been terrific. Now, you brought the tight ends up, and maybe, Gary, that's a way around it, because you're going to have a quarterback that's going to release the ball quickly. You need somebody going over the middle. The position, I would say, that really baffled me was cornerback. Because we keep on thinking that Stephon Gilmore might be out of here. I don't think there's any way he's out of here now, is he? You've got him. You've got J.C. Jackson, Jonathan Jones, Jalen Mills, Miles Bryant. Anybody getting excited? Juwan Williams, who might be a safety. To me, that was a position of need.
And again, that's another spot, Guy, where you could say, well, they don't need one this year. But they might not.
But next the year, year after.
But
the
year
understand.
After. It's like, and like even like Reese was talking about, when they look at the draft, and he's right. Like, you know, look like a year out or 2 years out.
Right.
You know, and I was surprised. Like, again, the positions we thought, like corner, wide receiver, and tackle. They always like a tackle. They got one, a lineman in the sixth round, a wide receiver in the seventh. And maybe they hit in the sixth again. That's where they got to win you.
When you take a look at Need, they were terrible against the run. He wanted to go with defense. He felt he had to shore up the defense because he is going to have a game manager quarterback, right?
He did that.
So they certainly got better on defense. And they have some depth on defense because the linebackers, I don't think, the new guys he brought in, with, I don't think he was thrilled with them. There's no doubt. Who's going to play cornerback after Gilmore goes?
Well, J.C. Jackson, you going to pay him now?
But and that's, you're going to overpay him. There's no doubt you're going to overpay him if he's
going to stay. So if you went and got that big corner.
Yeah. Right. But, guys, when I hear you talking, I hear Bill Belichick isn't going to be here long. Like, Bill's drafting, like, for the next year or two, and that's it.
Oh, I don't buy that. You think he's only here for a year or two?
I think he's trying to win.
He's got his health ring on right now. He's monitoring his health. What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you know what? It looks like it's really working.
Do you think he's going to leave before he gets Shula's record?
No way.
He ain't going to get that in the next year or two.
No, that's a good point, Lou. I always forget about that.
He's here at least 5 years.
Oh, he better win.
5 years.
Better
win. So you're thinking the Kraft won't let him be here that long.
He better win.
What does that mean, win?
You better get back to the dance. You better be in the hunt. I mean, wild cards aren't going to do it. Wild cards are not going to do it. One playoff winner is not going to do it. You better get to the promised land, because there's no way that Robert's letting him stick around for 5 years if they're not getting back to another Super Bowl. So I know Jonathan ain't.
Well, they have to find a quarterback to be able to do that.
Well, that's right. But that's why you got to win now. See, I think that, look, he's 69 years old, guys. I think, you know, and I'm not, I don't want to be guilty of ageism, but he's got to win this year. He does.
Define win.
His stones are on the line.
Well, define win. What do you mean?
Define win is get back to the playoffs and be a legitimate threat for the AFC Championship game.
Oh, I don't think they're that.
I think that's what the owner wants, and you better have the potential of thinking that if they can't do it next year, they get next year. They don't want wild cards here, guys.
No, I think that this year, given the way last year went, you better be in the playoffs.
Yes.
But I think you're a playoff fraud, and I don't think they'll believe that they can do any damage. But the following year is when you really should take off. You don't think they can win in the playoffs this year? No, God, no.
No, you know what they are, Gary?
I think they could.
Gary, you know what they are? They're what Buffalo has been the last couple of years, with a young quarterback
who's
getting
better.
So if your guy, your rookie quarterback, shows something, best case scenario, let's say, is Allen, and that would be pretty damn good. Last couple of years, first couple of years of Allen in Buffalo, what were they? They were okay. Look at their defense. Look at the offensive skill players they had. They had a lot of good players. Quarterback was not ready. So you have a lot of good players. You have better skill players than you've had the last couple of years. And yet you still need your quarterback to be good if you want any chance of winning the division or being in the divisional race.
I think Mac Jones could be better than Josh Allen was as a rookie if he gets the chance.
Oh, yeah. He could be. Could throw the ball
Josh Allen was a very – I mean, he had some problems.
No, but he could run.
He could run, but he was also prone to a lot of mistakes. I think that's one thing with Jones, is he's not going to kill you with mistakes. At least I think so.
Well, again, until we see him, on a totally different level. You look at it, they had three of their offensive linemen that were all drafted up high. He had both of his receivers. He had his running back. So think about that. He had better personnel than some of the personnel you're going to see on the New England Patriots.
I disagree with that. He's going up
against better defensive talent, game in and game out.
I disagree with that.
The division alone and what he's going to have to face just with Buffalo and Miami.
Look, I understand. I know Alabama. I know they're a wagon. And I get it, that the competition wasn't as stiff for Alabama against other schools as it's going to be in the NFL.
But I think, of course, they were loaded.
But I think Alabama would get their clocks cleaned by Jacksonville. I don't buy this.
I do, too.
I don't buy that. That's a separate argument.
It doesn't take away from the fact that Jalen Waddle, DeVonta Smith, and Najee Harris are, you know, better than any running back you have and better than any wide receivers you have.
And three offensive linemen right
now. I don't know if they're going to be better than James White.
Do you think Najee Harris is more complete?
Okay, but do you think in this offense, do you think the players that you just mentioned, do you think they could be more talented or deliver more production than the two tight ends the Patriots have in James White? Because I don't.
Who's your starting running back? Damien Harris, or is it Sony? We don't pick up the 50-year option.
Oh no, Sony's out. Sony's out of the picture.
All right, so I'm just saying, Damien Harris, Aguilar, and Kendrick Bourne. I would take Najee Harris, Jalen Waddle, and DeVonta Smith. I think all three of those guys are better.
I don't know that. Yes. I mean, you've got three guys that are established in the NFL, and you've seen them do that. I am not ready to make that conclusion. But if you want to look at a vacuum, you can make that argument. But if you look at the entire offensive stable that the Patriots have, I take that over what came out of Alabama.
Listen, I think the problem you've got with Alabama is the tremendous talent that they have on that team and who they face. You know, there's a couple games during the course of the year in which they're facing top-notch defensive talent, but on the whole, they're not. And so it's a different level. It's exactly what Christian talks about in trying to judge a quarterback at Alabama, because they're playing with skilled players and offensive linemen that are better than what they're necessarily going to be dealing with in the pros. This hour of OMF brought to you by Northeast Men's Health. Locations are in Dedham, next door to Legacy Place, Salem, New Hampshire, online at northeastmenshealth.com. Uh-oh. The Red Sox have now dropped 3 out of 4 in Texas. Ooh, should we be concerned? We get to it. Coming up next, it's Tangway in for Fourier right here on OMF.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, more deep thoughts with Christian Fourier.
The more you hang around, the more you believe
you can
hang around.
OMF is on EEI.
Playing a line drive in a right center field, a base hit. This will put them ahead. And it's overrun by Verdugo. Here comes the throw to the middle of the diamond, and another run scores! Two-run score on the play. Verdugo bobbled it, the ball got away, and Brock Holt has given the Texas Rangers the lead, and the second run scoring on the bobble makes it 5-3 Texas.
Brock Holt. That's right, Brock Holt. You heard it correctly, the game-winning hit against the Red Sox. I must tell you guys, you just hear that crowd in the background, and I turned on a couple of the games this weekend. It looks so totally different from what we're accustomed to. Anybody watch and see how many fans were sitting in the stands? It was like the old days.
30,000.
Unbelievable.
Watch Texas for you, baby.
30,000.
Going out.
Texas.
Hey, giddy up, man.
Where were the mask? I mean.
Yeah, real men don't wear masks.
It was unbelievable watching this.
They got after it.
All right, should we panic here, Lou? They dropped 3 or 4.
Panic.
Okay. Right.
First off, it's Texas. They always struggle in Texas.
They
are what they are. They're a good team.
What's it like playing at Texas? Because to me, whenever I watch
get smoked at Texas,
it looks
like
it sucks.
Though, right?
Yeah, it
sucks. Mm-hmm. It's hot. It's dry.
In May, which is nice. You go there in August, and you're like, what are we doing?
Oh, yeah.
Humid as hell, yeah.
But it's just, I don't know. They always win. I know, like, in 18, actually, I think they won 3 or 4. But then we all know a team always used to go down there and get their ass whooped by Texas, and they were never really that good. They just pound you. Now, to me, I look at it, and it's like, you know, another good start from Richards. I mean, it wasn't 7, you know what I mean? But still, the stuff was there again. Pavetta's been really good. Ottavino's an issue.
Right.
Like, he's a serious problem.
Right.
And I said it before, fastball command. The guy came in, first hitter. He's got the lead. And he walks him. And he threw 4 fastballs, and only one of them was strikes. The others were just out of the zone. Like, he can't throw a fastball for a strike. He's got a great slider. But he's got to be, if he could throw a fastball for a strike and make the slider play, good. But right now he can't, and the innings they're giving him are very important, and he's just not getting it done.
All right, Louie, what about this? I'm sorry, Glenn, but what about if you took Houck, and I know they want him to be a starter.
Yep.
But since he's a two-pitch pitcher, what about putting him in the place of Ottavino while Richards is pitching well in the rotation?
Because he's too important to the future. To make him a one-inning guy right now, I wouldn't do that. And you need him. He's a 6th starter down there. If we're in September and these 5 guys are still in the rotation or August, then you might make that call.
Well, this is what I wonder about Houck.
But I don't think you do it in May.
Okay, but this is what I wonder about Houck. Unless he, I mean, I don't know how you feel about that third pitch, but that was the book coming in, right?
Until he proves he needs it.
Okay, but I wonder is, and with some of the rules that they're implementing now because they want the game to go faster, is you take a guy like Houck, I mean, why the hell can't they find a guy who can give us 2 or 3 innings?
Yeah, well, they got 2 of them already.
You know, okay, but maybe if maybe you can put, I think that Houck could be a guy like that, not just a starter.
Yeah.
But maybe I'm wrong. Because that's what I think.
He could be, like I said, I think you make that call like in August.
Yeah, you do. Well, look, I think this team is so damn likable. I expect nothing from them. I love Pavetta. Richards, I know, took some heat. I don't know if he's a tool or not, but he's pitched well. He got out of a big inning yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I love Kike Hernandez. I love Verdugo. I mean,
you're in love.
I do. I mean, this look, because you know what? Because in our job, we were talking about the Patriots a lot, and that's what people want, right? Oh, I mean, we understand it. It's the Celtics. It's the Patriots. And I was like, I'm looking at this Red Sox roster at the beginning of the year, and I go, I don't know any of these guys, and I find it interesting as hell. And I just think they're very likable, and they're going to come back to earth. The Yankees are probably going to win the AL East.
I don't know about that.
But I think I think the Red Sox could be in the playoffs, and if they are, dude, that is gravy.
But what you're dealing with is you're dealing with low expectations. I think Lou had them probably rated higher than anybody in the city, and he knows these players probably better than most people do. Yeah,
and I still think they could sneak into the 90s.
Yeah, and I would say they're likable to you, Gary, because you weren't expecting much.
And I don't hate them. Okay? I don't hate anybody.
If you look at them, they lost the first 3, then they went on the 9-game winning streak. Since then, they've been a 500 team, right? That's what they've been.
Right.
So maybe that's what they are the rest of the season. To me, they're still showing an improvement, and the expectations are so low. By the way, talking about Ottavino, this is a NewJersey.com headline today. Looks like Yankees' Brian Cashman knew what he was doing in trading Adam Ottavino to the Red Sox.
Yeah.
They're already gloating at that after the Yankees win a couple games.
Well, they should, but then they should ask him, why in God's name you guys cheap bastards and refuse to go over the tax for a team that's supposed to be pretty good. I'm not buying the Yankees still either. Yankee fans are now chirping 7 of 10. Ooh, great. You split with the Orioles and you swept Detroit, the worst team in baseball. Awesome. Where do I line up to get my ice cream?
Okay, what's Gary Sanchez doing?
Like seriously. Red Sox right now got Detroit and Baltimore, too. We'll see. Maybe they get hot against the worst team in baseball. I don't know.
So you like him to win the East, then?
No, Yankees, no.
No, I meant the Red Sox.
No.
Oh.
No, absolutely not.
No, he's not going overboard.
That's what I mean. People go, they're a good baseball team. That's all I said. Most people had them at 79 wins. I said 87 wins. They're better than you think. Their rotation's better than you think. They have more depth than you think. But I think the division is Tampa and Toronto. And I think those two will battle it out. I think you're going to battle the Yankees for that wild card spot. That's what I've always felt day one. No more. Maybe the Red Sox can get hot. I don't know. Maybe Sale comes back and gets hot. I don't know. I don't think the Yankees are very good. I think Tampa's better. I think Toronto's better.
Okay, what I'm curious to see is who out of this year bodes well for the future.
Yeah, I think you're seeing that.
You know, like Hernandez. I mean, some of these guys. I mean, it looks like the deal with the Dodgers is going to work out just fine. I understand it's Mookie Betts. I get it. But correct me if I'm wrong, Lou, all parties involved are doing well, correct?
To me, Verdugo's a nice player. He's a good player. I love watching him. Like, he's just instant energy, right? He's a good player.
Right.
Still, it depends on what the other two guys do. Like, if Jeter Downs, who's going to be in AAA, is your second baseman opening day next year and is a really good player, then you're good. Or if Connor Wong, you know, is, ends up being your catcher of the future, then you're good. If you want to get Verdugo out of the deal, you could still sit there and say maybe you definitely should have got more. Should have got an arm or should have got two players, right?
Right.
But, I mean, if you get Verdugo, Jeter Downs, and Wong, like, yeah, you, I mean, what do you want? You know, 18 years of control. And if they're good players, they're good players. So that's how I would wait to evaluate that one still.
Talking about
former, I'm happy with him.
Talking about former Red Sox players, maybe the hottest hitter in baseball over the at least the last 10 games, Andrew Benintendi. He's batting like .479 over the last 10 days.
Is he?
Yes, he's on fire for the Kansas City Royals.
Oh, is that a scenario thing, though? Yeah. I mean, I know it's cliche.
No, he started off poorly. He was awful in the first 3 weeks of the season, right? Luis Terrell.
Yeah, he was awful.
Yeah, and he just found something happen in the last 10 days. He is really hitting the ball.
Franchi's done. Like, he's going down.
That one I don't get.
No, he's done. Like, he's going down. Like, once minor league season kind of starts, which it does, like, this week, he's going down. But everybody's just like, oh, they screwed up that trade. You got to remember, there's four other players they got for him, too, on top of Franchi.
Right.
Like, so, Winkowski, the arm, we'll see. And there's three players to be named later. We poo-poo those guys. But when you miss an entire year of minor league system, who knows what they are, the list that you have? Who knows what you... So I would say wait till you see the other four guys before you sit there and start crushing that deal.
I thought they were...
He's not ready to play.
I thought they were more than patient with Benintendi.
Yeah.
I mean, they you know, it was what it was. And plus, when you were trading Mookie, when you're cleaning out, and obviously you're starting over, or they're resetting the button, you know, they want to clear the luxury tax, they want to pay for their sins, I had no problem with it. Because I don't think it was going to happen here.
No. And he is. He's playing well lately. But, I mean, I just don't... I'm not a Benintendi guy. I mean, when you take the name and the draft pick away, you'll say, okay, as a player the last 3 years that's gotten worse defensively, that can't run the bases, one of the worst base runners I've ever seen in my life, swings and miss rate goes up higher in every single year, lost his athleticism, then you can just sit there and say, then why do you have him on your team?
Worse than Ortiz?
Worse to what?
Base runner?
He's the worst base runner I've ever seen in my life.
Worse than Ortiz.
He's worse than Hanley Ramirez. Here's the difference. Ortiz would hit it out of the ballpark.
Yeah,
so when he was rounding the bases, he could do it in slow motion.
I was like, wow,
this guy's not doing that.
But I mean, like
Sox have had some bad base
that
runners.
That dude needs to go to like AAA and play baseball. He has been hurt. If you look, he's had like 50 at-bats each year the last 4 years. He never plays. Never plays. Even in minor leagues, he doesn't play because he's been hurt the whole time. Dude, he needs like 400 at-bats, 500 at-bats in AAA to figure out what the hell he is. And then maybe we'll see you next year. Who knows? Or the end of the year.
All right, let's go to the Celtics because you got everything this weekend. You got history. You got ejections. You got collisions. You got injuries. You got foggy COVID effects. You got it all this weekend. What does it all mean for the future of this team going into the playoffs? We get to it coming up next.
Back to more Ordway, Maloney, and Fourier.
Bring it back.
You even consider listening to anything else?
No.
OMF.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Back here at OMF, Gary Tangway in today for Christian Fourier. The big fellow will finally be back tomorrow, and we'll get his take on all of this draft stuff. We'll get back to some draft stuff as well. But I wonder how many people were actually watching the Celtics game on Friday night with the NFL draft underway and them trailing the San Antonio Spurs by 32. I wonder what the TV ratings were at that moment.
And even when they made their comeback, how many people saw it?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was awesome. I mean, it was frustrating. I shouldn't say it was awesome. Last night's game was fantastic. It was fun to watch. Friday night's game, even though they lost, Friday night's game was frustrating because at the end of the first half, you're disgusted. They're down 32. You're just pulling your hair out. And then they made this unbelievable comeback, which Brown hits the, you know, really the only shot he made of the night. And you're psyched, but at the same time, I was so pissed off because it shouldn't have been like that. And that's why this team's not going to do squat in the playoffs. I'm down on them. I mean,
I agree.
Down.
And even to look at the Portland game. So Tatum goes out and he puts up 60.
Right.
And you come out in the next game on Sunday and you play offensively because I think everybody looked at Tatum on Friday night and said, yeah, I want to do something like that. But they couldn't make a stop when they needed to in that game. And once again, to me, it just showed they are erratic. Nothing translates from one game to the next game.
Yeah, I'm with you. And on, in a positive way, right? Because they'll go out and get embarrassed. And you're like, well, they're going to come out tonight, you know, because they're a good basketball team and show some fight.
Right.
And they look even worse.
Yeah.
And you're like, excuse me? You know, then they come back and they respond and you're like, oh, there it is. And you're like, yeah, but what was it the other night? And then you have a huge win like that on Friday. And then, like you said, the Portland game, I thought it was a good game. You know, like you said, just no defense, but Portland's playing lights out right now.
And they're better. They're a better team. That was not, I have no problem with them not winning that game. You can point to certain problems.
Right.
I mean, there were a lot of issues in the game, and I'm sure you're going to get to it all. I mean, there was some stuff going on. The refs sucked. But, you know, when you lose to, you know, Stoudemire and Calhoun, I'm okay with that. To me. Yeah. McCollum, CJ, I get that confused. Sorry, but those guys are better than your guys. The refs sucked. A microcosm of the season with your two stars getting tangled up and falling in
that
front
was scary.
Of the coach.
And you I know, guess it's we don't know yet, right? But I would imagine there's going to be some days off
Brown,
for Jalen
especially. Listen, Brown's fragile, and yeah. I'm a huge Brown guy. I wasn't before, but then he showed glimpses. But he is so freaking fragile, Lou. He can't stay
on the
floor.
You mentioned the ref. What was it? Brad didn't call timeout soon enough on that putback?
That's like, what they said. The rule's 30 seconds. He called it within 7, and they said, nope, too late.
Yeah, how's that even possible?
Oh, the officials were off.
The officials were off.
And I tell you, the one thing that got me, and I don't know, just – when Marcus Smart, you know, you get that offensive foul, right?
Right.
And it's like, you know, they're looking at review.
Oh, my God.
All of a sudden, they come out of it, and they're like, you know, technical on Marcus, he's thrown out of the game.
Because he hit the guy in the stone, five supposedly.
Minutes, 5 minutes later.
Yeah, well, five minutes later is right.
5 minutes later.
But was I wrong that there was no reaction to this at all?
Like
the moving pick, and his arm is swinging because he's running, and he hits him in the you-know-what. And they're like, they throw him out of the game. Scal and Mike Gorman are talking about, Scal's just trying to figure out if they get one technical or two.
Right.
You know, Brad Stevens is wondering if he's out of the game to get somebody in the game, bring in Pritchard. And I'm like, no one's going to bring up the fact that they just threw Marcus Smart out over a bogus technical?
Yes.
Or a bogus call?
No one, right.
Like, he just, it was a moving pick. He turned and was running.
Okay.
And his arm is swinging. Did that look like an unnatural arm swing where he intentionally hit the guy
and
the,
no,
you know what?
It was terrible. He didn't do it on
purpose.
How does
he get thrown out of a game and nobody care about it? And
because he has a reputation.
I
and
guess.
That's why.
But nobody cared about it.
And you know what?
Because I agree. I don't think it was
Tommy?
Intentional.
Well, okay.
Well, I know, but.
this is loose point of, God bless him, I mean, believe Tommy was upstairs bitching. I mean, he was bitching.
You're going to throw Marcus Smart out for that? You're going to throw him out of the game? They were down like 4 points with like 3.5 minutes to go. They threw him out of the game. And it was like, well, is it one team? Who gets the ball? I'm like, who cares? Yeah. They just threw him out of stupid ball.
But Tommy said Jesus, and he said, yes, I'm right here.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, Tommy in heaven was having a fit.
Yeah.
Look, that was an awful call. It wasn't intentional. And the fact that it took 5 minutes for them to make the call tells you it shouldn't have been made in the first place because it has to be blatant. But, Lou, I think you're on to what is the problem with the team. I'm going big picture here, so just hang in there with me. The reason the Miami Heat last year won in the bubble is because they came together as a group. Glenn has a lot of experience covering basketball, and he knows this. Brad Stevens is a wonderful X's and O's coach. He can X and O you to death, but right now that's not what they need. They need a leader. They need chemistry. This team has no chemistry. The reason that nobody came to Marcus's defense is because Marcus is not the leader people think he is. I've been on this train for a while. Everybody thinks he's the heart and soul of the Celtics. He's not. This team doesn't have a heart and soul. This team has one great player that can go out and score a bunch of points and give you a chance to win. That's it. There's no chemistry. There is no reason for one guy to play for the next guy. Brad hasn't been able to get into the emotional fabric of this team and make them one unit. That is the issue. And that's why they're going to end up with a play-in game, and then they're going to get their ass kicked by either Philadelphia or Brooklyn, and the season's going to be over.
Listen, I'm not disputing what you're saying about Brad. I think you're bringing up a good point. The problem you have is that Smart is the heart and soul and the leader of this team, and he can't be because he's not a good enough player.
Well,
nobody's willing to go
to
him when he's taking ill-advised shots. Right. Tatum has got to be that guy. So it's wonderful that Tatum scored 60, and he tied Larry Bird's record, even though he needed an overtime period to do it, but he's still in the record book. I give him credit for all of that. The problem that I have with Tatum is he needs to be that guy. He needs to be the leader. Now, maybe he will 2, 3, 4 years from now when he matures. I don't know. But he needs to be that guy. Or Brown needs to be that guy. You're right, Gary. Marcus Smart cannot be that guy. And that's why I think in the offseason, they're going to move him. They're going to understand that the personality of this team needs
move
to change.
Smart.
They'll move Smart.
Well, you move Smart. I mean, does that mean that eventually you think Tatum and Brown can actually be the leaders?
Well,
I don't know that. I hear even Mike Gorman, who's the most optimistic and positive guy you can find when it comes to the something.
Yeah.
He does not believe that they can. He knows those guys. I don't. He knows them personally. If he's saying that, That is a big concern to me.
Who's ready for Celtic playoff basketball?
Glenn is right about that. I mean, and if you listen to what Mike is saying, he's been very opinionated. And I've been surprised, actually, how opinionated he's been. And he's right. But
he ripped both of them before the All-Star break. I know. Better come back and stop worrying about getting points and getting wins.
Well, that's just it. Like, oh, but in the NBA today, you have to have a coach that's a psychologist. I mean, oh, no, Glenn was – I don't want to go too far back, but, like, when Glenn was with Casey Jones, Casey never called a play. He knew how to create a team. Phil Jackson, who I despise. I despise Phil Jackson. He used to bust Tommy's balls. He and Tommy used to go at it all the time. I can't stand Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson is a great psychologist. He got Jordan and those guys to play together. He did the same thing in Los Angeles. Doc Rivers, not a great X's and O's guy. You know that. He's not the diagram coach that Brad is. He's in Philadelphia, and he has made all the difference in the world.
No question. He got into Embiid's head.
And somehow, Glenn, you've been around the NBA more than any of us.
Yeah, but when you talk about
Casey, need that guy coaching the team. That's the answer.
I'm not sure I'm all aboard that, because if you look at Casey Jones kind of rolled the ball out, and I would agree he was a psychologist dealing with the players, but he had as good a leader as you're ever going to find in Larry Bird. Okay? So I'll give credit to Doc in Philadelphia. He's made Embiid that guy. Embiid right now is driven every single night, and he wasn't under Brown, the last coach. But I'm not sure this is what Brad Stevens is.
It's not.
But a player has to be this. You need a player. Durant is that guy. I hate to say it. Kyrie might be crazy, but he's got a little bit of that when you put him with good
Durant,
players.
Though. Oh, I mean, Kyrie maybe needs a Durant for him to do anything. I mean, he can't be the number one guy.
They have three, or at least they have two guys that can absolutely do that. But I think that's your problem.
Danny's up against it. I mean, guys, Danny, I don't know what the hell Danny's going to do, fellas.
See, to me, it's like, when it comes to Danny, it's like, I need to find out how he's going to get out of this in the next year or two.
I agree with you, Lou. It ain't easy because, I mean, right now,
get out of it. More like build around it. Like, what does this product look like in another year or two?
Before Tatum shoots his way out.
I know they both signed extensions, and that's where we're talking about the trade deadline and going out and getting somebody and making these guys feel like you put something around them, because I think they were tired of playing with a bunch of recent draft picks on the bench. It was like just the five of them, maybe six. So they added a couple guys. You know, Fournier finally kind of woke up from his little COVID fog, even though he's still feeling it. And I think he's a good player. But, yeah, these guys, even though they have extensions, in 2 years, they could just wake up and say, I'm done. We have 2 years left. I don't care. Trade me.
There's no question. I think
we're not going in the right direction.
I think, guys, right now, it's going to be very hard to trade Jaylen Brown. And I think he would get you the most in return. Because we're not trading Tatum, right, fellas?
No.
Right? We're not trading him.
No.
So you trade Jaylen Brown, I don't think you're going to get the value. I don't think, because he's inconsistent and he's hurt all the time, I don't think he's got great trade value for what you need in return.
I think it's a great contract, and I think he is extremely tradable. I do. And I think you can get a significant player.
For Brown?
I do. Okay. In return. Well, I don't think any of those other guys, though. Gary, I don't think any of those other guys are going to draw anything, and you're going to have to make a decision on Fournier. You're not going to get enough of a glimpse of this guy to decide whether he's worth going out there and giving him $25 million a year.
In the current day, your biggest concern is, I think Jalen's going to miss some time, right?
Oh,
we don't
know
what Kemba's dealing with.
Kills you.
And here Kemba's still done at the seventh seed.
I mean, you can't trade him. That's the guy you
can't
trade.
So get ready
for
the play-in game.
Yeah, they're going to the play-in game. If you look at the remaining schedule,
they have still an easy schedule.
They do not. I mean, they got to play Miami twice here in the Garden, but Miami's dangerous right now. They've won like three in a row. They're on a roll. They were there last year. We know that. They have an easy game with Orlando. I think you can win 4 out of 7 the rest of the way, 4 out of 7, but they need to win like 5 or 6 or 7 to not be in the play-in game. They're headed for the play-in game, and then they're playing Brooklyn and Philly, and they're done.
So the big picture you were talking about, here's the scary thing about the big picture. Wasn't that long ago we're sitting there going, once Golden State is out of the way, Celtics are on the on-deck circle, they'll be the next team that'll push up there. You go look at the league right now. Look at the East, and you look at Brooklyn. Brooklyn's not going anywhere. That's a fairly young team still. You look at Philadelphia, even younger. You look at Milwaukee with Giannis, and they've added players that are – and that was a terrific game yesterday with Brooklyn and Milwaukee. Then you look at the West, and you look at Denver, and you look at Utah, and you look at Portland. You look at Dallas. You're looking at all these teams and saying, even when the Lakers move on and LeBron gets too old, there are 4 or 5 teams that are better than you in the West. So where's their spot in the bigger picture?
It's tough.
Where is it?
You got to tell me what the roster looks like. There's going to be some shakeups.
Here's the best. We'll lose right there. There has to be some shakeups. Philadelphia, to me, is going to be on top of the East for the next 6-7 years anyways. And Embiid's not going anywhere. Obviously,
I don't even know if they're on top this year. I don't know if they can beat Brooklyn.
Well, no, but
Brooklyn's healthy.
But I mean, Durant, what I'm saying is, like, Durant's 37 by then, right? I mean, Durant's 33, right? So, I mean, Brooklyn's not going to be the beast of the East. I mean, what do they got, 2-3 years maybe?
Yeah, that's three
years. Then
probably.
It goes to Philly. That's my point. I'm sorry, okay. I didn't say that. It's Brooklyn now, and then it goes to Philly. And the Celtics, the best they can do right now, and I think the guy that they've really missed and nobody's talking about, is when Rob Williams went out with his hip thing. Even last night in the Portland game, Rob Williams is in the game against Cantor.
Yeah, but he's a guy that can't stay healthy. You could argue that Jaylen Brown has this year was injury-plagued year, but
right.
You know, I don't know if he hasn't been healthy throughout his whole career. This guy, Robert Williams, hasn't been.
And it sucks because they need him. Because last night against Enes Kanter, and Ordway could score off of Enes Kanter, they didn't go to Williams once in the paint. They didn't go to him once, and I'm like, Cantor's on the floor for 17 minutes, and I haven't seen.
But he's not a post-up player, though.
Doesn't
either.
Matter. Alley-oop it. Go get the ball different. In the middle. I mean, Cantor doesn't play defense. Yeah. They didn't make Cantor work on defense at all last night. Drove me crazy. To me, the best lineup they have, and Lou's not wrong. You know, you need Williams to be healthy. It's Williams, Brown. And it's Tatum, and I think you trade Smart, and then it's Fournier. I think that's your best bet.
Praise the Time Lord.
And then you're at best, you're the fourth best team in the East.
See, I just love the fact that LeBron's now bitching about this play-in game because he finds his team there because they can't win without him.
Right.
He didn't have a problem with it when they were like, you know, number one seed or second or third in the West, but now he has a problem with it.
He endorsed it in the bubble last year.
I don't know how you guys feel about it. I like it.
I love it.
Because, like, the Lakers are a perfect example. Maybe even the Celtics are a good example. Like, you know, this, but they're banged up. They're not that good. But, you know, the Lakers just feel like they can coast. And hey, if we're like a 6, 7, 8 seed, no big deal. As long as we're healthy, who cares? No. Now it does.
Yeah, I love it.
Now it matters.
I'm with you, Lou.
And I think the idea is to just get these guys playing basketball, you know, all year long and not have everybody sit out and who cares where we're seated, this type of thing. So they're making teams finish the season to avoid in that play-in game.
Yeah, I love it all. I think that it gives those teams that Lou just said a reason to play. Because obviously if you're in the top four and you got home court, you're playing for something. But if you're not going to get home court, you're just going to coach the final 10 games.
Yeah.
So I think it's great.
Well, the other thing, I don't know what LeBron's bitching about because right now he's a 6 seed. So let's say they drop to a 7 seed. The other team they play would still have to win 2 games in the play-in, right? That's the way it's established.
Right.
No, seven plays eight.
Right.
But if seven plays eight.
But if seven wins the first one, it's done.
And the winner's in.
Right.
Then the loser plays the winner of 9 and 10, I believe.
Yeah, the other team has to win 2 games, right?
Right. So if the Lakers win, as they should, mm-hmm. then they just play 1 game and they're in.
Yeah. Right.
That's so, it. I mean, that's.
I mean, so
I think
they have an advantage.
Trying.
So, listen, if he's not healthy or they're not healthy, what difference does it make whether they get eliminated in the play-in game or they get to the next round or they get eliminated? So, I don't know what his bitch is. And he was all for it last year in the bubble. I do think it would be embarrassing for the Celtics based on where they were at the beginning of the year. And this Jaylen Brown injury could play big into all of this.
They're done.
Then they could be in serious trouble. If they go out in a play-in tournament, that's going to be pretty embarrassing. Yeah, they never get to face one of those other teams.
I mean, I'll tell you, Glenn. Look, I love Brad Stevens as a person. I have to say that because he is such a nice man. If they lose the play-in, Danny, you got to make a change. You got to make a change.
Boy, nice things about the coach right now. Do you have an opportunity for like pre-game, post-game, or something?
Oh no, those
like
days are over, kid. Those days are long gone. Why do you think I'm with you?
Okay, that's a good point.
Because we couldn't get Donnie Marshall either.
Well, let's find out what Gary thinks about the Patriots coming up next. Maybe he's got a legitimate shot down there.
Does
Mac Jones have a legitimate chance to win Rookie of the Year? The odds are out. We'll take a look at them. And your phone calls at 617-779-7937. Are you thrilled at what the Patriots did over the weekend? Coming up next right here on OMF.